Blog Talk Radio.
Come out of the sunny bed of tea.
Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torat Chaim. Instructions of life, Torat Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim, instructions of mercy. This is now the 280th class of soul class, and we're going to make it kind of a condensed, casual chat, blessed souls. We're calling this new presentation of programming called A Taste of Tehillim Psalms. And actually, what you heard just now was a live recording back in 1982, 57, 42, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, leading the Chabad Hasidim in chanting out of chapter 63, from a portion of chapter 2 from a portion of the verse in chapter 63, verse 2, which translated into English means, "My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, like one in a desert, desolate, dry land without water, so I thirst to see you in the sanctuary, to behold your might and glory." And this is what we would like to do, is to try to arouse within the blessed human family experience the understanding and awareness that within the Creator's universe, by which it was written, sealed via Israelite children of Noah, an Adamic prophecy, and divine inspiration emanating from Moses, King David, original man, Adam HaRishon, Malki Tzedek, who was actually Shem, the son of Noah, King Solomon, Asaph, and three sons of Korach, and Jacob Israel, Yaakov Israel, and some say as well, Yidusun, who is mentioned briefly in the Book of Chronicles, Book 1, Chapter 16, Verse 38, that these individuals were involved in composing the Book of Psalms. Therefore, we warmly invite all human beings to invest a small amount of their time at this moment, so existentially revealed, who might already read, chant, and sing psalms, Tehillim, or might even make, or there are other people that might make, in fact, a positive decision in the very near future to start turning to the Book of Psalms for inspiration, guidance, blessings, and bounty connected with our humble efforts. Meanwhile, may the Most High bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly, blessed souls. Just to let you know, we have a tradition in Israel that before we say Psalms, whether it be a daily portion or a weekly portion or a monthly portion or one of the five books of Psalms, which actually corresponds to the five books of Moses, something for you to learn and think about, blessed souls, and to do your own research on the matter, we pull from various verses from the Psalms, and this is one of the, not everyone does it, but some do, and we'll just share with you what we say. Come, let us sing to the Creator, let us raise our voices in jubilation to the rock of our deliverance, let us approach Him with thanksgiving. Let us raise our voices to Him in song, for the Creator is a great Creator or God and a great King over all supernal beings. Now, with that being said, listeners, we're not going to read all of Psalms number 1, chapter 1, but we're just going to read from the first verse and break it down in the next 7 or 8 minutes and then conclude with Psalms 121 in a cappella, solely a vocal rendition by Yosef Kardurner from Eretz Yisrael, the land flowing and growing in meditations about the Most High and how to bring this world into unity and ultimately the ages of the righteous Messiah, Mashiach Tzidkenu, who wrought out Torah Chadashah, to reveal new instances of Torah that were never revealed before. So chapter 1, verse 1 in Psalms, so it reads as this: fortunate or praises is or for the man, this also includes the woman as well, that has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the path of sinners, nor sat in the company of scoffers. Now, we want to just focus in one moment, this word blessed is, or fortunate, or good fortune for the man who does not go in the counsel of the wicked, etc., etc., that the word ashrei is an expression according to the inner dimension of Torah, the essence or a concept relating to the idea of ta'anug or delight. Because, if we're honest with ourselves, we as human beings are beings who seek pleasure. The question becomes, what type of pleasure do we seek while we are blessed to blaze and graze upon this blessed creation of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, of the Infinite One, may be blessed? Well, from the Torah perspective, that where we learn out from the idea that the word ashrei is connected, as the first word in Hebrew is, and is translated into English, fortune, or praises are, or for, praised is. The idea of ashrei relating to tainug is actually related to two verses in the Torah which involved blessings, one from the patriarch Jacob Israel, Yaakov Yisrael, which you can learn more about by going to Genesis chapter 49, verse 20. But if you don't know the Hebrew, you don't see it. As much as if you see it in the Hebrew, it's written Ma'asher Shmano or Shmena or Shamna. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, he's talking about oil, Lachma. That there will be a abundance of oil in the property, the land of Asher in the future, when the tribe of Asher settles in the land of Israel. And Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, also blessed the tribe of Asher before his ascendance to the next level of life, where it's written, Tovil b'shemen raglo, that the idea of dipping his leg in oil was talking about, alluding to the abundance of oil, again, that will be found in his land. So Moshe, who was 5 generations after the patriarch Jacob Israel, Yaakov Yisrael, was conferring the blessing and bringing it down we might say, suggest humbly, to the next level, from which Yaakov had blessed his son, Asher ben Yaakov Yisrael, that from the name of Asher is the fortune of being blessed in a part of the land of Israel where oil, olive oil in particularly, is abundant. And in the inner dimensions of Torah, oil, shemen zayit, olive oil in particular, is connected with the idea of tainug. And this also idea of tainug relates to the idea of keter, of a crown. So a crown from the inner dimensions of Torah blessed souls is what King David is alluding to, that there is good fortune, there is blessings, there is praises for the person who does not go in counsel, which is evil, does not go in a pathway of sin, and does not stand in a place where people are scoffing and rejecting matters of Torah. With that being said, going more to the, say, more revealed dimensions of Torah, which are sometimes called the Mefarshei Tanakh, the great Israelite sages through the ages, that the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, and Meiri are quick to point out that the idea of Ashrei, praises, is in plural, that implying that one isolated act is not really sufficient enough to make a person worthy of the praises that King David is bestowing upon a person who does not go in the way of evil. Rather, that a person is praised from above and finds favor within the bosom of other human beings when he or she are constantly involved in deeds that are good and constant. With that being said, Rav Yishfoel Shimshon Hirsch, another great sage from the 19th century, taught that the idea that the root of the word Ashrei, fortunate, or praises for, Ashrei is related to another Hebrew word called Ashur, which means to stride forward. And the dilemma that people, unfortunately, get entangled in, I think in physics or science, mathematics, is the idea of the law of entanglement. What people who are classically described as wicked, and there have been, unfortunately, to the pain of the human family experience, so many people who have been entangled in wickedness, is that one of the delusionary thoughts they get in their mind is that they want to be modern and they want to be progressive, because after all, if the times we're in, shouldn't we learn to be progressive and modern? Now, I'm not preaching or speaking about being anti-modernity or anti-progressive thought, because there are positive progressive thoughts, and Torah instructs us where to be progressive and where to be modern. However, this type of modernity, this type of progressive thought that the wicked try to promote in each generation, is that they use it as a springboard to condemn, which they perceive, or I would like to humbly suggest, misperceive, as those who want to cling to Torah, and instead of learning what the Torah is that those people want to cling to, they stigmatize them and call them primitive and backward. So King David, according to David HaMelech, according to Rav Yishfoel Shimshon Hirsch, wants to instruct us that the idea of Ashrei, which means the praises of a person, is related to it Ashur, to stride forward, is that King David is hinting to us that the true reality is that only people seeking righteousness are the ones who are truly progressive, who seek to move forward towards meaningful development. Now then, the next word which follows is the idea of fortunate is, or of the man. Again, this means woman as well. And this type of person who wants to cling to Torah, and part of that cling to Torah is, we humbly suggest to all people, is to read Psalms, that another explanation offered by the Otzar Nechmad is that this idea of Ha'ish, which is the Hebrew word for the man, or of the man, is that a person who has such praiseworthy virtues of wanting to cling to Torah and want to talk about Torah, to want to sing about Torah, to want to share Torah, this is a person, well, you'll find, is brimming with youth, vitality, and desire to improve the creation, starting with him or herself and starting with their immediate surroundings. And they are able to do battle with their inclinations and are very successful in avoiding the temptation to get in a mode of carousing and all sorts of temptation when offered them by being in the company of bad people, of bad company. Now, we couple that together with the idea that fortunate is this person who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. And another famous commentator, the Ibn Ezra, makes a very powerful suggestion that the reason why David HaMelech, King David, is talking about not walking in the counsel of the wicked is because the wicked are walkers, meaning they never seem to be satisfied with their lot. Their mode in life is a constant search for more likely than not, and only in rare occasions it's not that way, but most times the people who are in the category of being wicked, tripping up in their own delusionary misperceptions of what life is about, are always seeking instant gratification. There's a few examples where they're not, but for the most part, they are seeking instant gratification to the extent of hurting themselves, others, and the communities, and even at the world at large if they had the chance. And this is alluded to in a prophecy in Isaiah 57:20, which reads, "For the wicked are like the trouble-tossed sea, which cannot be still." It's very hard to see a sea where there's a saltwater body of salt water, aside from maybe Salt Lake City, or I've been to the Dead Sea. The waves are very, very calm, but we're talking about, you know, if you go out to the Mediterranean Sea or the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea. And you can also include in the sea the ocean. Oceans are in constant movement. And so too, the wicked are in constant movement, troubled by the fact they're not getting gratified enough. And not only that, the whole idea, as mentioned in the first verse, the counsel of the wicked, they like to advise and persuade others to join them in their evil pursuits. So when they get masses to follow them, this seems to make a justification for their lack of righteousness. And there comes to even a point, like we saw in the previous generation, the Nazis, Yivach Shemam, where they wanted to account their justification of their evil by the gathering together of the masses to revel in their evil and calling that their righteousness for the sake of their white superiority complexes, or I'd say inferiority complexes. Now, with that being said as well, the idea of also taking advice from the category of wicked in even worldly matters completely goes beyond the realm of what we call derech eretz, proper conduct. And the problem with taking advice from someone who is engaged in wicked ways is that along the way of getting that advice, more likely than not, this wicked person is going to inject venom into the discussion. Not only that, in the oral Torah tradition, that in Megillah 28a, it is mentioned by our Israelite sages that it's not even good to look into the face of someone who is publicly regarded as an evil doer, because even just looking into the face of someone evil, or intent on doing evil, can cause spiritual damage to the person. So how much more so that one must be very careful to avoid the words of the counsel of the wicked, because it can really spin a person around and cause them to even question that which they were previously clinging to, which meaning divine instruction. And the wicked, at this level, which are giving counsel, must be avoided at all costs. With that being said, blessed souls, we're going to stop here because, as I mentioned, this is going to be a informal gathering when we get together, hopefully in the near future, with the blessings of the Most High. And hopefully we'll end off on the positive because, again, by avoiding the counsel of the wicked, just at one level, just to stay away from where places where a person shouldn't go, and every person has enough intelligence in their own mind empowered by their divine image, which will help them get off in scrimmage, the Tzelem Elokim is no dream. This is one level of starting to accumulate the praises, but it has to be a constant thing to constantly try to avoid those who would seek to harm us and others by giving us very bad advice. Now, with that being said, blessed, we're going to end succinctly with Psalms 121, which goes like this: A song of ascent, I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Creator is your guardian. The Creator is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day, the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Creator will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Creator will guard you, your going out and your coming in from now into eternity. And hopefully this will be accomplished in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Gorel Chad, the one destiny call on for all of us, Bardach Yisholm, in a peaceful way, Dach Nolom, pleasant way, Bezer Hashem Yisparech, with the help of the Most High, Laham Shif, to be continued. Take care, everyone. Here's Yosef Kaduna, Shir Hamalos, a cappella. It's strictly in Hebrew. That's why I read it in English. Take care. And remember, yourselves, don't underestimate the good within you, because you've got to be good, because the one who is the source of all goodness created you. Take care, everyone.
Shir lamaalot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri ve'im ha'ashem Ose shamayim va'aret Al yiten lamot raglecha Al yanum shomrecha הנה לא ינום, ינום ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומרך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע. ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלה, אשא עיני אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי. עושה שמיים בארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום, ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. השם שומרך, השם צירך, al yad yeminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakega ve-yareach ba-layla. Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Hashem yishmor tzedcha u-boecha ve-ata ve-ad olam. Hashem yishmor tzedcha u-boecha ve-ata ve-ad olam.